Welcome to Today on Broadway for Tuesday, March 26, 2024. I'm Broadway Radio's Matt Tamanini.
And I'm Tell Me on a Sunday podcast, Grace Aki.
Grace, we have been hyping up the fact that this season is going to be crazy with all the openings and the previews and awards and all that stuff. And yet the last two episodes of this show have been primarily focused on things not involved in this season. And that is going to be especially true today because all of our stories pretty much are about next season, either on Broadway or not. But we have a lot of stuff to talk about outside of Broadway. But as shows begin to get into performances on Broadway, we will have tons to talk about them as well as the awards race. So head over to patreon.com/BroadwayRadio, broadwayradio.com/Patreon to hear all of that before anywhere else. Now, first, Grace, we already knew that this show was coming to Broadway in the next season. That had already been officially announced. We did not officially know where it was going to play, although we had pretty much told you all for months now that Sunset Boulevard will be playing the St. James Theater, but now we know what days. It'll begin performances on September 28th with an October 20th opening night. We already know that Nicole Scherzinger will reprise her role as Norma Desmond. She will be joined by her co-stars from the London production, Tom Francis as Joe Gillis, Grace Hodgett-Young as Betty Schaefer, and Brad Thaxton as Max. All four of those stars of that show are current Olivier nominees. Of course, those awards have not yet been announced. I would not be surprised if one or many of them do end up receiving Olivier awards, along with many of the production categories as well, and probably Best Revival to boot. I do think the fact that they're able to bring the four principals over with this show that was so incredibly heralded in Jamie Lloyd's production in London just bodes well to a really, really fantastic production. And we talked about the fact that Illinois is going into the St. James this summer, and it's a big theater for a dance show like that. I am kind of interested in the fact that this is a show that is bare bones, as most Jamie Lloyd's shows are. But it is such a, I think it's going to be such a huge hot ticket that filling the 1,700 seats or whatever, like, I don't have the same concerns about that as I would for a lot of other shows.
I agree with you entirely. I think that the hype of the Savoy production of it over in London, I think that it's just ripe for that theater. And I know a lot of people did some deductive reasoning based on why they thought it was that theater, based on awning rules and where you can and cannot film outside of a theater, things like that. And it has positioned itself as the perfect theater for this. And I think that, first of all, I love that it's just down the street from like where I'm always working. So I'm excited to work on it, honestly. But yeah, I think that Jamie just has that vision to make it work wherever he deems it necessary. But also at the same time, like, he has a lot of creative license on where he wants that to go down. And so I think that it makes sense that the overhang is mirrored. I think actually lends itself really well. I don't know if that will be utilized, but I think it makes sense if it is beyond what we saw kind of out of the London production.
Yeah, explain that. We saw with Jamie Lloyd's A Doll's House where Jessica Chastain went outside of the theater and we saw people from the outside filming her kind of walk around the block. This is similar but different with what we saw in the London version of Sunset.
Yeah, the from what we saw in the London production, this is not really a spoiler at this point, I feel like, because of the viral videos. But just in case, I don't want to spoil everything, but just know that there is something that is filmed using the outside that an actor does track. And it's really incredible from the inside of the theater, but also from the outside. It's a quick moment, but it's definitely a feat. And I think that they were really, really tedious in making sure that that was something that they could do. And he has to figure out, you know, how he wants to do it at this theater before they even, like, I think, signed on the dotted line that they were going to do it. You know, it had to be a place where they could do that because it was a part of the direction that he wanted to maintain.
And when you say filmed, this is not like it's filmed and the actor is just standing in the wings. It's literally like live from outside of the theater.
Correct.
Okay. Well, I'm super excited about this one. I think that for a show that is built on such American myth, whether that's the original film or just like the myth of old Hollywood, the fact that this is, you know, written by a London composer and this director is bringing over an acclaimed British production really seems like a melding of a lot of different artistic interests that is incredibly compelling. And I cannot wait to see it. All right, Grace, as big as that was, I honestly feel like that story, predominantly because we already knew that Sunset was coming, got dwarfed on Monday because out of nowhere, Lincoln Center announced they would be doing a concert of a Little Night Music that is just absolutely stuffed with stars, and that it'll be running for 4 performances over 3 days this summer. Those days will be June 27th, June 28th, and June 29th. Jonathan Tunick will conduct a Little Night Music directed by John Doyle. The orchestra will be 53 pieces. It's the Orchestra of St. Luke's, and it will have an unbelievable cast of stars. From opera fame, Susan Graham will play Desiree Armfelt. Cynthia Erivo will play Petra. Ron Raines will play Frederick. Kirsten Anderson will play Anne. Jason Gotay will be Heinrich. Ellie Fishman will play Mrs. Nordstrom. Jin Ha as Frid. We have Addie Harrington as Frederica. Tony winner Schuller Hensley as Count Carl Magnus, Samantha Hill as Mrs. Segstrom, the great Marcia Mason as Madame Armfeld, and to wrap it all up, we have the iconic Ruthie Ann Miles as Countess Charlotte. Absolutely incredible that this show is being done. It actually doubles the size, nearly doubles the size of what it was originally orchestrated for. It was originally orchestrated for 27 pieces, and it is now doubling that for this production. Grace, if I was not planning on being on a boat in the middle of the Caribbean on all 3 of those days, I would absolutely make a trip up to see this, but I am sure that there are many, many Sondheim fans just geeking out. I love this show. I love this score, and this cast is amazing. Tickets go on sale today, Tuesday, just so you know, at littlenightmusicconcert.com. They go on sale at 10 a.m. Eastern time. So if you want to get that, hopefully you're listening to this ahead of time. So jump over there and grab your tickets. But Grace, I mean, like, if you're going to put these people together, I'm not going to beg for a Broadway production of this, although I would love for them to do that, but at least give us a film or at least a cast album, because that group is unbelievable.
Maybe PBS could do something here. You know what I mean? Like, I maybe that could be the moment. But it's honest. I'll be frank. This is bizarre.
Why?
Because I don't know anyone that was clamoring for this. I love it. It's just funny to me. Like, I think it's so random to do it. For the 4 days, like, it's fabulous. But I'm also like, isn't that what we have encores for? But I mean, sure. I love it.
Yeah. So here's the thing. I have on my spreadsheet of rumored productions, I have a Little Night Music. So I had heard something about a Lincoln Center production of a Little Night Music. I had thought it was a full production, not a concert for 4 days. And I certainly didn't expect every single person in the cast pretty much to be a star. But I had heard rumblings of this. But this kind of, like you said, it does defy what my expectations would have been.
Yeah, I obviously, like, I think a lot of theater people really, really love this show. It's kind of like a theater person's darling. It's not so much like a massive box office like success normally, but I think it's awesome to introduce it in this new way. I mean, the last time we had a revival on Broadway was 2012, right? 2011.
Yeah, with a Catherine Zeta-Jones, yeah.
Mm-hmm, because I saw the Bernadette Peters, Elaine Stritch. Cast,
right, that was like famously, the second cast that came. Famously.
Yes. never forget. When she looked at the audience and said, again, because someone's phone went off. So, anyways, but it is really cool. And I think that, like, we're just having a massive Cynthia Erivo takeover year. Like, there's no doubt in my mind that this is not going to be the only thing that we see a massive either concert or production or film and TV or something besides Wicked that she's going to come out with this year. So I think that we need to, like, stay tuned for even more.
Hear me out. This isn't going to happen. But what would I give to have Cynthia and Ari actually do a month of Wicked? It's not going to happen. But can you imagine how insane that would actually be?
Yes, I can imagine how insane that would be.
Okay.
I think we're more likely to get Ethan Slater playing Bach on Broadway than we are any of what you just said.
I know. That's what I'm saying. It wouldn't happen, but I'm just saying it would be pretty cool if it did. All right, so let's move on to yet another fairly big story that we got on Monday. And this one takes us outside of New York, takes us to the second city, where this summer we already knew that Chicago's Goodman Theater would be the home for the world premiere musical adaptation of Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil. It has a book by Taylor Mack and has music and lyrics by Jason Robert Brown. It is being directed by Rob Ashford and choreographed by Tanya Burrell. We have the first three stars of the show, and some of them have already been attached, so they won't be a surprise. But J. Harrison G. will be playing the Lady Chablis, Tom Hewitt will be playing Jim Williams, and Sierra Bagas will be playing Emma Dawes. Now, Grace, I feel like being a Georgia girl, you might know more about this than I do. J. Harrison G. is playing the Lady Chablis, which was actually played by the Lady Chablis in the movie. Tom Hewitt is playing the Kevin Spacey role, but Sierra Bagas, I'm looking at IMDb here, and there is no character named Emma Dawes in the film. So I don't know if this is an amalgamation of other characters. There's a character named Serena Dawes, but that was played by Dorothy Loudon, who was in her mid-70s at that point. So it's not that character. There was a character named Emma, but it was somebody who was actually playing herself, and she was also in her late 70s. So I don't know who this character is exactly, but I'm sure that there is some explanation that we will get at some point. Are you familiar with this enough to tell me where I'm wrong?
I'm not. It's been so many years, but I think it's interesting. And I know that they've been cooking on this for a while now. Michael Arden, again, is just directing. I think that this, on top of some other adaptations, are coming along pretty smoothly. So I'm really interested in this. I think that it makes sense that they're doing it in Chicago. We're kind of back on that train where a lot and most out-of-town tryouts are happening in Chicago again. So I feel like if you are a native Chicago person and you like to go to the theater, I think that getting those subscriptions to places like the Goodman Theater, getting subscriptions to like even the touring houses, honestly, but Steppenwolf, like re-upping all of your subscriptions is probably a really good idea.
I feel like that's a tease that you don't want to tell us too much, but that seems like a pretty good hint for folks. All right, Grace, let's go back to the East Coast, but not to New York, but instead over to Millburn, New Jersey, because yesterday the Paper Mill Playhouse announced their 2024-2025 season. Last week we tried to guess based off of some of their clues. We didn't do so hot, or I did most of the guessing. I didn't do too hot. One of them I felt I should have gotten, but I didn't. But we did. I did get one. I at least mentioned one. But they announced the season will start on October 2nd with a production of Jersey Boys. That was the one where they had like pizza in a New Jersey magazine. I said it looked like a Men's Fitness because it was like a big buff looking guy. But that was Jersey Boys, I'm guessing. Irving Berlin's White Christmas will start in November and run through the end of December. We said there will be something Christmas related. Then on January 29th, we will get Mystic Pizza, which is the one that I mentioned. That will happen on January 29th through February 23rd. That is going all over the place. So I will be interested to see if this is the same cast, at least the same lead cast, that has done it in multiple locations over the last couple years. Then, as we talked about the fact that Paper Mill generally has a new musical, they will have a new musical here. It is called Take the Lead. It is a world premiere that'll take place on March 29th. Take the Lead is a new show with a book by Robert Carey and Jonathan Tolens and music and lyrics by Elia Heffritz and Zenaba Now. And it is based on the movie of the same name. It is going to be directed and choreographed by Christopher Catelli and co-choreographed by Jennifer Weber and Maria Torres. This is, Grace, as we talked about this when I was having its workshop, this is the 2006 Antonio Banderas dance film. So, exciting. We'll see what happens with this one. And then I swear they threw us off here with some red herrings because there was clearly a rose under a glass case. We are getting a Disney musical, but it's not Beauty and the Beast. We are getting The Little Mermaid on May 29th. So a pretty good season there, Grace. I'm interested to see what happens with this Mystic Pizza show because it's been going around. It's directed by Casey Hushen and with a book by Sandy Rustin. So it's moving its way around. It is getting closer and closer to New York. So is there a Broadway life for this? I don't know, but they are certainly making all the rounds to the places you would think that a Broadway-bound musical will be.
Yeah, I agree. I think that they're just trying to put this one out for more licensing, frankly. Maybe they wanted to work with Sandy again after Clue. Maybe, there's, Casey Hutchens directed a lot there as well. And I think it's like lovely, but I agree with you. It's kind of interesting that it's had all these different turns and they've already done their regional premiere at Ogunquit. So Paper Mill isn't getting the regional premiere from my understanding, notice on this show. So it has to be strategic for some reason. Like it has to be. I'm really pointed that they're doing the show there. So perhaps that's the life for it.
Yeah, and it just got done with a run out in California. Was it the Pasadena Playhouse? I can't remember. It did two runs in California. So I'm not sure, but it is very, very interesting. And because my friend Kira Kennedy is in it, I'm obviously keeping an eye out on that. All right, Grace. The last little bit of news here that we have is the fact that the York Theatre Company is going to present an invitation-only developmental reading of a new musical just called Merman. As you might be able to guess, it is about Ethel Merman, not about half man, half fish creatures. It'll happen on April 1st, and they announced the cast. Megan Sikora will lead the musical as the famed Broadway legend. Also in the cast will be Jeremy Benton, Adam Heller, Manu Narayan, and others. Sounds like a great cast for this. Wish I was going to be in town. Anything from the York Theatre Company doing one of these readings is always fun. And the fact that we get something about Ethel Merman is even better. All right, I have two recommendations here for you, Grace. The first one comes from the Broadway Cruise, and it is Christian Borle singing Chip on My Shoulder, which is one of my favorite songs to rock out to in the car from Legally Blonde. I love that one. And I love seeing Christian do this one again. And then the other one is from Broadway Backwards, which happened earlier this month. It is Alex Newell singing Back to Before from the musical Ragtime, playing the role of Mother. So check out both of those videos. They will be in the show notes. All right, everybody, that's all that we have for today. Thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Broadway Reading. You can follow me on Instagram at BWWMatt. Grace, where can people find you?
You can find me at It's Grace Aki.
All right, everybody, have a wonderful Tuesday, and we'll be back to talk to you tomorrow.